Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You don't have to have the solution, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Betway. The Premier League is bloody back. It's Friday, 11 September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Friday times, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get to the Premier League, with the new season upon us, of course, we're delighted to tell you that we're going to be continuing to bring you 5 shows a week with a rotating lineup of 3 of the 8 of us each day. You know us by now, you lucky sausages. And we've now launched a brand new channel as well. Some of you may have seen the first episode of On the Continent is now available on that channel, which is called Football Ramble Presents. Andy, you were on the Continent. Tell us how it went.
It was lovely. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It was me and our new presenter, Dotton Adebayo. That's right. Dotton Adebayo.
Dotton in the building. Amazing scenes. Amazing scenes.
It's going to be me and Dotton every week. Mm-hmm. Miguel Delaney was the first of our rotating panel who joined us yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he was excellent company. And we talked about how Paris Saint-Germain needlessly mm-hmm. called off their game at Lens. All went and got coronavirus, but they'd still win. Which they didn't. They missed last night.
What a scoreline.
And that's the sort of prognosticating that you can hope to receive in the new On the Continent on Football Ramble Presents.
I loved you on the Condor back on there again. You and Don, you were like Vic and Bob and One Extra One.
Yeah.
Exactly. In the words of David Brent. Well, search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Gentlemen, the bloody season's upon us. So soon after the last one.
Who's emotionally ready?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you are. You're excited, aren't you?
Big time.
I can tell, yeah. Look, we all are. It's great. It's been a weird one, But let's get cracking again. Big kickoff for the new season is Marcus's beloved boys.
Oh yeah,
as well. So they thought, how are we going to get? How are we really going to get the punters back in?
Yeah, well, you get the Fulham on TV.
Yeah, big time.
Early doors, of course.
Well, everything's bloody on TV, isn't it, for September?
Well, and they're the first ones.
Exactly.
You know, they pioneered it. I would not say, because it wouldn't be true.
Fulham pioneered television. David Attenborough's fuming. Sir David Attenborough's fuming with
me. I mean, I don't know who Sir David Attenborough supports, but I'd put him down as a Fulham fan, surely.
Well, Billy the Badger is the mascot.
Exactly.
But most clubs have got some kind of animal mascot, apart from that one team. Is it West Brom? We've weirdly had a boiler.
Boiler.
Most teams have an animal. I think he would be a big fan of Cyril the Swan at Swansea,
who is
my favourite mascot, chiefly because I think I remember him being really aggressive in a mascot race at a horse racing track once.
He's quite feisty to Millwall fans, I remember once.
Was he?
As well, which...
That takes
balls, even in a like 7 foot Swansea.
And another one of you in your litany of weird pronunciations. Feisty is feisty.
No,
I say feisty.
No.
What do you say?
Feisty.
It's feisty in South London.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
Ask Ruth Manoeuvre.
Who have Fulham got on their roaster?
It's feisty in Scotland.
Who have Fulham got on their roaster tomorrow?
Oh, my goodness. They've got everything. I think it's a good time to get Arsenal out of the way. Because we don't know what Arteta's going to do. They've had a few new signings, of course. There's talk of Saliba maybe starting. Andy, I'm sure you've got something to say on him. So I think if you're going to play a big team who, you know, FA Cup winners, obviously, you know, they're not a top four side at the moment, but they've got ambitions. I think it's best to play them quite early on. And it's a fixture that gets, I think it's kind of like you're in the Premier League now.
You're at home
as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly, yeah.
I think you get a little bit of Arsenal versus Norwich first day of the season vibes from about 28 years ago, don't you? When Norwich went to Highbury and won on the first day, and Arsenal went on to have an absolutely fantastic season.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a little bit of that for Fulham. But when we say we don't know what Arteta's going to do, I'm going to put it out there and say not pick Mesut Ozil.
Yes.
I think that could be quite a strong part of it. And it's something that Nick Ames pointed out in The Guardian. Whatever the feelings that Ozil is putting out publicly about he wants to battle his way back into the team. And of course, he did that before. Mm. Until the shutdown, of course, he played every game, didn't he, for Arteta. And something changed. And it felt like something changed quite dramatically after that. The interesting thing that Nick was pointing out, though, was the fact that Willian, having been signed and a lot being invested in him, especially for a 30-something, which is a change of policy for Arsenal, the plan is to play him in a central role. And that says Ozil is not going to play at all. Also, I think Willian will do very well in that role, because that is the thing that Arsenal have struggled with, really, creating chances. That's also sort of fed into the need to keep Aubameyang. Because if he was a basketballer, you would say he creates his own shot increasingly. And he really does, doesn't he?
Mm. I think that's interesting, playing Willian in the centre, because if you
think about it... Yeah, I didn't expect that.
Well, he's in early 30s now, of course. Yeah. Not getting any younger. None of us are, Luke.
No. Less defending, basically.
Less running, I suppose. I mean, if you're playing on the wings and you're playing in demanding formations now, you're trying to give a bit of cover for the fullback and so on. But you know he's got pace. You know he's got that turn of pace that he has. He's not going to suddenly lose that. It will wane, of course, as the years go by. But he's still got that to maximise that and to pick and choose those runs rather than all day running, because he can be quite busy. I quite like the sound of that.
Yeah, I kind of assumed he'd play on the right of a three up front.
Mm.
That's kind of where I thought he would play. But I mean, if you're telling me, Andy, you know, you're telling me he's going to play for Liverpool, that'll be interesting to watch.
I think it's an interesting idea. Nick does know Arsenal very, very well.
Oh, listen, he knows it much better than I do.
We have to say, but I think it's not something I would have picked either. But,
well, not against Fulham with Harrison Reed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's not going to get a kick.
Sign on a perm.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to get a kick.
And so I was going to say, the thing you said, well, you guys said about Fulham facing Arsenal on the opening weekend, that, you know, you could catch Arsenal cold. I had that in my notes. I was going to say that about Leeds against Liverpool. Now, of course, they wouldn't necessarily want to play him at Anfield, but if you are going to play Liverpool, you've got to play him at some point. It's no bad thing, I don't think, to play them on the opening day, because you just never know what you're going to get.
Well, that's the thing with Leeds above all teams, I think, in this Premier League this season. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah,
you know, because we've enjoyed them so much over the last couple of seasons.
But we'll come on to them. But the point I wanted to make was that
and I guess I'll throw this to Mark as a question, because he kind of follows Fulham a lot closer than me. I don't particularly know how Fulham are going to approach it. So with Leeds, I feel like I know how they're going to approach it. With Fulham, it's quite hard to tell how they're going to approach it, because they've had this recent history where they've gone up to the Premier League, they make all these signings, they don't really do one thing or the other. It goes to absolute rats, and they get relegated again.
Absolute rats.
They've got a new manager now. Back compared to what they had before when they were last in the Premier League. How do you think they'll go about it? They've got a full strength squad to choose from. They've got some good players with top flight experience. What are they going to do?
Well, he was manager when they were relegated.
Eventually,
but I mean, you know, he was rather kind of bother. We're going down. We know you're a good agent.
Who's the man who looks most like a fighter pilot? Get him in.
That he'll be the one. I think that what I had concerns about Fulham last season that actually they were a bit unpredictable, and they weren't as attacking as Fulham fans in recent seasons in the Championship specifically have come to enjoy them under Jokanović in the Championship. I don't know if it will ever be as good as that again. Like, it was it was so good to watch. But of course, you can't do that when you go up to the Premier League, as they very much found out when they were hammered. And I think a lot of people will probably have Fulham down to be relegated this year in their predictions and so on. But what gives me a bit of hope, actually, is, and you saw Fulham as well, Luke.
I did.
They didn't seem that cohesive, didn't seem that good. But when it came to the crunch, they looked very solid in that playoff final against Brentford. Completely nullified Brentford, who attacking-wise, were brilliant. Now, I know Brentford aren't Arsenal, for crying out loud. But actually,
well, they create more chances for a start.
Exactly,
don't they?
They're better to watch. they don't have Özil, so actually, I think of all the people that understand, certainly on the pitch, about defensive stability and being solid and hard to beat and so on, it's surely Scott Parker. Surely of all the people.
But it's funny though, because not always do managers manifest themselves in the style that you'd expect them as a player. You know, classic example: George Graham as Arsenal manager, nicknamed Stroller as a player. And it's an arch disciplinarian as a manager. And Keegan's another one. But he's not really.
Yeah.
On the Fulham thing you mentioned, I saw him last season. I did see him last season. Mm-hmm. I wasn't impressed with him. I thought they were a little bit boring, a little bit... I saw them play against Stoke. They scored. Mm-hmm. They won the game. But they were largely quite poor. Having said that, though, the other way of looking at that is just that they got the job done.
Yeah, but I think that's it. I think Parker...
You can't read into the playoff final, though, because that's just there for winning, right?
Of course.
You can't throw too much into what happened in that game.
But looking at it all, I'm going to give Parker the benefit of the doubt here, because some people say he has shortcomings as a manager, and I totally get that. You know, he's still in experience.
He's still a rookie,
He's still learning. We shall see, of course, quite quickly how this will pan out. But I would hope that Parker was thinking to himself in the Championship, look, we've got some good players here. We've got Mitrovic up front. We should have enough to at least get into the playoffs at the bare minimum. And of course they did. And they were still in for a shout at second place on the last day of the season, which didn't quite happen. But I think that you've got to be preparing the side at least somewhat for Premier League. I know people will say, oh, we shouldn't do that. You've got to go up. But I understand it's a fine line that. It was a very, very fine line. But I think to make them more solid, difficult to beat, blah, 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 blah. So at home against Stoke in the Championship, that stuff it shouldn't really be action that much. You need to be attacking. But you can't go from one to the other completely in the following season. So I hope, to give him the benefit of the doubt, that he was subtly preparing them for life in the Premier League.
Maybe.
And if that is the case, then I think you could see Harrison Reed will start. And I think Tom Kearney could play in that more withdrawn role.
Could we have a word from Andy on Alphonse Areola as well?
Yeah.
Joined him. Because that's an interesting signing, isn't it? From Real Madrid on loan, isn't it?
From Paris Saint-Germain.
Sorry, Paris. He was on loan at
Real Madrid last season.
Real Madrid last season.
Yeah. Well, they've clearly made a significant investment in him, even if he's only on loan. I mean, you know, he earns €700,000 a month at Paris Saint-Germain.
Right.
That is a lot of money.
Cool. Yeah.
For a guy who's not been a first.
Well, short to the Premier League team for you.
I think so. I think it was a bit of a shame for him at Real Madrid. He actually did a good job, in the sense that he only played a little bit at Real Madrid, but what he did, which is exactly what they would have hoped for, is inspire Thibaut Courtois under the threat of genuine competition to play his best football that he'd played for a couple of years. And he's helped transform Courtois into one of the best goalkeepers in the world again. Areola's someone I really like. I think he's someone with the quality, with the presence to become a really, really good goalkeeper. I think he could be absolutely key for
Fulham. His opening gets the best out of Rodak then.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Poor Marcus Bettinelli's gone on loan.
Yeah, he's a bit of a fall from grace, really.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but he's gone to Middlesbrough, where he'll be with Neil Warnock. More on him later.
Yes, nice trail, mate.
What about Kenny Tete?
Well,
Fulham have signed him, Netherlands international.
His father was a martial artist.
There we go.
Wow.
His father's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's blimey, that's quite something. Do you think he'll do okay, Andy?
I think he'll do okay.
Okay.
He's
better than bad.
Part of a stable of great fun but very unreliable Lyon right backs that they're currently clearing. So Tete's left. Raphael, of course, formerly of Manchester United, has gone to Istanbul Başakşehir. Did you see the signing video with him?
You've got on the continent now, for fuck's sake. I cannot believe you've done this. Just say he's going to be up against Aubameyang, Saka and probably Tierney tomorrow. It's going to be difficult. Move on.
Raphael played for Manchester United and there were lots of
twin-based
japes.
Yeah.
Between him and Fabio, when they're
6 degrees of separation, we can link to anyone, mate. That's been proven.
Right. Well, Kenny Tete, what your description there? I think to myself, good enough.
He sounds a bit like he could be an 80s soul singer.
Yeah,
and Kenny Tete,
and that's what
he doesn't look like one. That's right, but he sounds like one.
And that's what you want. Well, Arsenal last time they went to the Cottage, it was 5-1, I think. Was it 5 or 6-1? Aaron Ramsey scored that incredible goal.
Yeah.
He's not there, so they can't do that this time. So up theirs.
Yeah. Well, no, Unai Emery's not there, so they can't do that this time.
Exactly. So, Fulham win.
Good evening.
Fulham win.
I missed that.
He'd be saying it somewhere.
Yeah, I know, but you don't really hear about it.
A certain time of day, I'd imagine.
It's like the same way you missed the topics with Daniel Farker. I miss good evening.
Yeah. I would like to think he will preserve that in English even when he's at Villarreal this season.
I hope so. That'd be great.
That
would be really good.
You've got to appeal to the international audience. That's what La Liga's all about.
And that's why Gary Neville went to Valencia.
Yeah, and that's what On the Continent's about as well. One of the big matches of the weekend, of course, is Liverpool v Leeds. Leeds back in the Prem, straight to the Champions. I think that's what it was. I think when the fixtures were announced, Bielsa was on the phone, straight to the Champions, please.
Yeah.
Straight to the
By the way,
Anfield.
I am sticking around. Yeah. I told you that would be weird. I told you that would be weird. I knew his contract was over 2 years and he went out in the summer.
Yeah.
And I said to everyone, don't assume that he's definitely going to stay. Now, of course, I was wrong and I'm happy to take that on the chin. But it's still quite funny that yesterday it broke in the news I am staying. he's just so mad.
It's like, but when he comes out and goes, by the way, who are you going to play against Liverpool? Before I get to that, I am staying.
Yeah.
All right,
and the way he says it,
the
way he says it is, I will be working here at Leeds this year.
Yeah.
It's like it's a normal job.
I know. It's absolutely phenomenal. But he did talk quite nice terms, actually, about as a coach, you know, like the sort of the cheer and the joy that they give to fans, you know, is like the main reason why he does the job and so on and so forth.
Have you seen that mural up in Leeds?
They love him.
Yeah.
And so they should.
I don't know if that's a new thing or not, but it's an amazing mural on the side of a terrace house.
You think about 10 years ago.
Yeah, marching all together in Spanish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's class. About 10 years ago it would have been when Bielsa's Chile went to the World Cup. That was when, I think, you and I, Luke, certainly, and
but they're playing that 3-3-1-3 formation.
Yeah, which essentially is like a 3-4-3, if you look at it, you know.
Yeah. It was quite interesting.
But that was when we kind of started to get to know Bielsa a bit better.
Yeah.
Other sort of people would know him before and others since then.
Marcus, I'm really gutted that you brought that up because now I just feel sad that they haven't got Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
But when Bielsa was there and then subsequently, you know, he's such an interesting, incredible character of the game. And Guardiola, you know, I mean, when I tell you what, when Leeds play Manchester City, Guardiola will be sitting in the Leeds dugout, won't he, going, what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
Goodness knows what happened there.
Guardiola will pay Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds so much respect that he'll play some mad formation involving six fullbacks, leave all the attacking players on the bench, and Leeds will win.
3-0 Leeds.
And Guardiola will be happy about it and give a really weird post-match comment. I should have put that in my prediction.
But he'll have a go at Nathan Redmond, though.
Sorry, I did a post-match and I was on the phone to Nathan. Every week is on the phone to Redmond.
I've retired
3 years ago, Pet.
Honestly, but all those years ago, we would never have thought, you know, you look at football and so on, that Beals would be the man to get Leeds back into the Premier League, having been there having been out of the league so long. It's absolutely wonderful how these things are thrown up. And I'm still loving the fact. I know Leeds fans will go, oh, come on, get over it. It's Beals, we've been there for a while. But it's still wonderful.
Great to see him in the top flight.
It really is. And yeah. and I'm really interested to see what Leeds are going to do, Andy, as you mentioned. You know, he has said that they will continue to play their style.
I think they will. So I heard Vish and maybe you, Marcus, or someone say a week ago on the show that, oh, it's going to be interesting to see how he approaches it. I don't know, Andy, you know much more about this than me, but I'll put this out there. I think he's just going to go exactly the same.
Yeah,
we know how he's going to approach it. We just don't know how it's going to work.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference, especially with betting in new players. And Rodrigo and Robin Koch are obviously the two big ones. It looks like
I just saw Marcus's face then, sorry.
Keep going.
It looks like they might both start on the bench against
stiff
Liverpool.
Competition for Koch.
Imagine Bielsa doesn't play either of them all season.
Let's just hope he doesn't flop. Carry on. That's all I've got.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Carry on, Andy.
Uh-huh.
Don't shaft us.
But what I'm looking forward to the most, going
seeing
back to
cock
what,
on the ball.
What you got, that's enough.
All right. Sorry, everybody. It's been a while.
What I'm looking forward to actually is seeing Bielsa pop up, his little face pop up on Match of the Day.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty good.
Do you reckon he'll ever go English or not?
Well, Lineker speaks Spanish.
Yeah, true. But because remember when Pochettino moved from Southampton to Spurs and they were like, right, you're going to have to speak English now.
Yeah.
And he did it. Do you think they'll sell it to Bielsa?
No, but I think even with Pochettino, you've missed a little something, quite apart from the fact that I missed his interpreter, who seemed a lovely man.
Yeah.
I think you don't get the same depth from his answers. And everything Bielsa says is so detailed, so philosophical, so nuanced.
You prefer it in Spanish.
He should never ditch a translator. I don't want him to be standing there going, I was pleased with the game. I don't want to hear
that. No, I think...
Did you hear him being asked about Klopp's heavy metal football?
Yeah.
Or what do you think of that comparison? He goes, well, I don't know anything about heavy metal. I'm only interested in football.
Yeah. There was a lovely...
I watched two VHS videos of football games at the same time.
Yeah.
I have no time to listen to music. That's what
I reckon if you passed him a copy of Some Kind of Monster by Metallica on VHS, you've got to communicate with Bielsa via VHS.
Yeah,
I think that might work. And, you know, the psychodrama of that particular film.
He'd be into it.
That would be his way into heavy metal, I think.
Yeah. You know, apparently, a former player of his, he was invited to the wedding, and when he turned up, he handed him like 14 videos of his of his playing style and so on, and some tips. It's like, there's your wedding present. Do you want me to watch this on my honeymoon?
Was it Jonathan Wilson's wedding?
Oh yes, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Is that all you got?
You know when people leave their presents on the table at a wedding.
Yeah.
Jonathan Wilson's wedding is just to be at VHS.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But there was a lovely moment because apparently, obviously, he's developed Calvin Phillips no end. He's been so good for him. You know, when he first saw Calvin Phillips, Calvin Phillips was a forward and then a winger a long time ago, and then he was sort of a box to box midfielder, and Beals just came in and went, no, what's all this? Learn how to play centre back, defensive midfield, and now he's an England international.
Yes.
But Beals gave him an old shirt of his when he was playing, I think, for Newell's in the 70s, and gave it to Calvin Phillips as a present, and apparently Phillips gave Beals a his England shirt that he played.
Oh, that's
Denmark.
Nice. Wow. Very nice.
Isn't that lovely?
That is lovely.
Yeah. And I think this is for me, this is for me the most interesting game of the weekend.
I agree with you.
Because you don't really know what you're going to get. The opening weekend of the Premier League season is very interesting anyway for exactly that reason.
Yeah.
But he's a fascinating coach, someone we've wanted to see in the Premier League for a very, very long time. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, really, since we started doing this show, we've wanted him to come and manage over here because he's such a character. It's great to see such a club like Leeds back in the top flight, as everyone has said, and I completely agree with that. And they're going to the home of the champions.
Yeah.
We don't know what to expect from Liverpool either, because, you know, can they keep that intensity up now they've won the league after such a long time? Or will there be a bit of an internal kind of relaxation that you sometimes get? We've seen managers talk about it in the past. It's traditionally very difficult to dominate across a number of seasons in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Not many teams have done it. You'd argue only one, really. So lots to get stuck into in this game. It's going to be fascinating.
Well, and the two sides have got quite glorious histories, of course. Liverpool finally winning the league, Leeds finally getting back into the Premier League.
When you mentioned Kevin Keegan, I was thinking fights in the Charity Shield.
Of course, always.
Keegan's always relevant.
Keegan gets top.
Keegan is always relevant.
Now, Thiago Alcantara it's not been signed, sealed and delivered to Liverpool, so let's not talk too much
about
that.
Would they deliver him?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stick him in the back of a Renault Espace.
Is that Jeff
driving?
Is that Jeff Bezos' next thing?
Yeah.
Sort of package up football.
But you know, these days when people deliver things, it's just in the back of a car.
Yeah.
Would you like to see Thiago in the back of a car like that?
I would like him to be in the back of like Beals' knackered old Fiat.
Little ribbon tied around him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Do not return to depot.
Do you think though? I mean, if he does, we expect him to go. I hasten to add, but Thiago Alcântara, it would provide a different option for Liverpool.
I think he would be a great addition for Liverpool because you think maybe that bit of craft in the middle of the park is the one thing they're lacking. And I think he can be quite combative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because he's not quite the sort of muscle man that Bayern are looking for anymore. I think that's something.
Because Goretzka crushes him between his bicep and training.
Yeah, it's not football anymore. It's WWE at Bayern, isn't it? But I think the interesting thing about it for me is, does it limit the chances of Naby Keita? Now, Luke was talking about, I think he was talking about at least Liverpool in the running. And it's understandable that post-lockdown they struggled, especially as they've virtually won the league anyway, to produce the same sort of intensity. And that will be the question of them in the opening couple of months of the season.
Mm.
But also, the brightest spot for them, as apart from, you know, running around with the trophy and all that sort of stuff, was Naby Keita, I thought, in the closing weeks of the season. He looked as if he was getting something together. And it's like, yeah, this was the player we bought. But does Thiago's arrival limit his chances? That's my question.
Yeah, my question is, will Patrick Bamford do it in the Premier League this time?
Play the saxophone?
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, I don't think he'll start the game at Anfield, though.
No, okay.
I think
Wouldn't it be great if one of the players played the goal music when they scored?
What, on a saxophone? Like Tony Mowbray?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking Bamford. I mean, what other value is he going to have in the Premier League? Like, if he plays Baker Street every time Rodrigo scores, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the role he would have wished for in the first Leeds first season back in the Prem, but it could be fun.
Other than Baker
Street. All right, you sell him, squad player.
Other than Baker Street and Careless Whisper, are there any other sax riffs that you can think
the
of?
The start of Waiting for a Star to Fall.
Ah, good one.
That opens. That's, as I always say on this show.
What a start to the season that would be.
And it comes up more than you'd think for a football show. It's the sign of a confident songwriter to start a song with a sax solo.
Mm-hmm.
And Boy Meets Girl, Waiting for a Star to Fall. Do that. And the effect is actually remarkable.
I'm shocked that you've overlooked Danger High Voltage by Electric Six. Because
that doesn't start with a sax solo. It starts
the solo is a sax solo that morphs it's a guitar solo that morphs into a sax solo.
Yeah.
Or is it a sax solo that morphs into a guitar solo?
Something that we can figure out in the break, Andy.
Yeah, apparently they put a rumour out that it was played by Bill Clinton as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And in light of recent documentaries, they probably want to distance themselves from that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon.
In 2020, self-care can seem like yet another overwhelming job for women.
Every week, we test out a new kind of self-care so you don't have to.
Firstly, can we just clarify how we pronounce it? Kombucha?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. Self-care club. Wellness road tested.
So that was the first day. You know, it was just the not slipping into the complete default mode of what I normally do, which is have a go at my husband for what he hasn't done. And, you know, all of that stuff, I kind of stopped.
OK, so it was more the absence of meanness rather than the projection of kindness at this initial point.
Yes.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
This week, we are testing out menstrual cups. How are you feeling?
Dreading it. I know that you love to give a practice that's all about down below. I'm not interested. I've never even really thought about it since before I met you.
Never thought about your vagina until you met me.
It doesn't get a lot of air time. It doesn't get a lot of air time. No, it doesn't.
The Self-Care Club is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Now, the celebrations never stop at the Football Ramble, so to celebrate our new format and return to the Premier League, we've got a new email address, everybody! Send your correspondence to show@footballramble.com. Simple. show@footballramble.com. Less letters than some of the other ones, so you can do it quicker.
Yeah.
We'll be getting back to regular emails next week, and Pete may well have even prepared a new jingle.
Yes, that's something to be excited about. That is something to be very excited about.
And slightly terrified.
Yeah.
And with a new Premier League season here, it can only mean one thing. It's time for another year of Football Ramble predictions, people. We've all been getting our predictions in ahead of tomorrow's Premier League fixtures, and we want to see yours. Get them in before the fixtures. I know it won't alter the title race or anything like that, or blah, 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 blah. But if, you know...
But if people want to show off in May, they're going to need to have shown that they've submitted theirs.
Yes.
Before, or filled it in, perhaps with a copy, the photograph, a copy of that day's newspaper.
Now we're talking.
Before the games have started. Otherwise, they've got an unfair advantage.
Exactly. If Mitrovic hit six against Arsenal, you know, you have him to top scorer. It's a bit, you know.
I probably still wouldn't.
Would you not?
Probably not. No.
Six goals?
That would be remarkable. Let's be absolutely clear.
But given that once you take away the suspensions, he's playing a maximum of 20 games.
Yeah, well, that's true, Andy.
But that's 120 goals pro rata. Yeah, it's very good.
It wouldn't be too shabby, we can all agree. Yeah. Find us on Twitter at Football Ramble, where we'll post a 2020-21 predictions page that you can fill in. Then you can tweet us your decisions using the hashtag Ramble Predictions.
Yeah.
There we are.
And do email us, though, show@footballramble.com. We'd love to know, you know, experiences you've had watching football over the years. Maybe you've got a suggestion to improve football. Maybe you want to just tell us or wax lyrical about the first time you went to see a game. Anything of fun or of interest, and we'll read them out on the show starting next week, accompanied, as Marcus has already said, by a bloody lovely Pete Donaldson jingle. Now, I'll say that, it could be horrific. I haven't heard
it. Yeah, that's true.
But one thing's for sure, it will certainly divide opinion. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Daniel Farke has had a bloody dreadful year, getting relegated from the Premier League and then getting relegated from
Topics.
Jingles.
Yeah, no, he was there for a little gap. It served his purpose.
Yeah, but he was still there when they were relegated. So actually he still enjoyed a bit of the limelight even though they'd gone down, Andy. Yeah. So I think
it's better to have loved and lost the Topics
exactly.
than never have loved at all.
Indeed. Now, let's talk about the Sunday afternoon kickoff, Spurs versus Everton. Jose Mourinho up against Carlo Ancelotti. Come on!
Yeah.
If you were in any doubt, ladies and gentlemen, if the Premier League was lacking
any... It's the place
to
be.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely quite... it's quite the thing. Very contrasting transfer windows, of course. Everton been busy, brought in some big names. James Rodriguez, or Jimmy Rodriguez, as I'm going to call him. And
J-Rod.
And Alan, Andy, as it's properly pronounced. Although, yes. I do think I'm going to default to Alan, if I'm honest with you. So do forgive me for that. But keep up your end of the bargain there.
Keep up the doodling.
Yes, exactly. And also Doucouré as well, actually. I think that one we haven't...
I think you look... I mean, sorry to jump in, but I think you look at the potential first 11 for Everton in this game, and it is remarkably interesting.
But how many times have we said this about Everton over the last...
But I don't think
seasons?
We have quite to this extent. It's not just the profile of the players, Marcus. I think there's a sense that there's a structure, because they've brought in a whole new midfield of three players who are different and potentially complementary.
Yeah, agree. I was going to say, that's a midfield three, surely.
Yeah, and I think we know what Doucouré can do in the Premier League, and I'm sure he'll be very valuable.
I think he's great, Doucouré.
If we can leave him to one side for a little minute, I think not only Alan and James very different, not only are they... Ancelotti's former boys, and yes, he is doing an Italian Harry Redknapp. Yeah.
Can I just say, when you say Alan and Hammers, it sounds much better than Alan and James in the middle of it.
It certainly does.
Alan and James.
Did we vote to Brexit or not? Right, have a word with yourself.
All right, sorry, all right. Kelsey.
If he's coming over here, he's James. Something that really affects Brazilian and Colombian. Yeah, thanks for that, Luke.
We're going to talk about Neil Warnock in a bit, okay? So save that chat for then.
But I think the way that they fit together is going to be really interesting, because bear in mind that James Rodriguez has spent a season kind of treading water at Real Madrid. He would have gone to Atletico had they not got absolutely thwacked 7-3 in that friendly by Atletico, and then they thought, well, hang on, you look good and we're going to give you a player that you want. No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And James ended up paying the bill for that. Now, interestingly...
He doesn't want to go to Atletico with all that running under Simeone, surely.
Round about that, yeah. You wouldn't want to see him all sweaty, would you?
We talked about this earlier in the week.
Yeah.
He could have been a different player then, couldn't he?
Also, I think the important thing to underline is that not only is this James and Ancelotti part three, but that Ancelotti wanted to sign him for Napoli, and they couldn't quite agree the fee for him. Now, so he's obviously had a plan in his head for quite a long time, how Alan and James are going to work together. So it's not just getting two top-class players that he knows well and thinking, oh yeah, this will work, and like throwing them together. He's had a year of plotting this in his brain, Ancelotti. So I actually think they're going to end up clicking together quite quickly.
Yeah. I hope so. I think it'll be fascinating to watch. I've the risk of embarrassing myself for the 4 millionth time on this show.
Gone by March?
No, I think Everton might be a little bit better than people expect. I think what's happening, unless I've misread it, which is entirely possible, I think people are all too regularly here, in light of this business, saying, this is great, this is great, this is great, but it's Everton. That's a great signing, but it's Everton. Yep. This is great, but it's them. And I don't think that's the most sensible way of looking at it. You've got to look, as Andy said to me earlier in the week, slapped me down, and rightly so, it's Carlo Ancelotti. Yeah. The reason that James Rodriguez is coming to Everton is because of Ancelotti. So, and in light of what Andy said there, the plan is the plan. Rodriguez, in the whole... behind Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin. I'm excited for that.
I'm very excited for that.
Get him in that jam role.
Oh, come on.
And with Spurs, I know they're likely to start with
Joe Hart.
Doherty and... No, absolutely not. Doherty and Højbjerg in the middle.
Go on, Marcus. Go on.
The rest of it does look quite sort of same as it ever was. And this is, if you think about the team that came to the end of their cycle under Pochettino, we're going to use that phrase, well, they're probably going to start with Son, they're probably going to start with Ali, they're probably going to start with Moore, they're probably going to start with Winks, they're probably going to start with Ben Davis, they're probably going to start with, you know, Toby Alderweireld. Now, I'm not saying they're bad players or whatever, it just is quite an interesting juxtaposition.
It's lucky fans aren't allowed to go, because you wouldn't be adding any to the attendance with this sort of patter, would you?
Probably not, no.
But these players...
No. But I'll just finish, just very quickly if I may, just say I do think Spurs will do some more business, they just haven't done that yet.
Yeah, so it's been a quiet window for Mourinho's standards. I mean, I think Doherty's a good signing. I think he's a solid signing.
Agree.
The one I think is a really kind of quite underrated signing potentially is Højbjerg. Andy, you obviously did a great interview with him for Bramble Presents last season. I think he's one of those players that And who are playing for a club like Southampton, but even we can even say specifically Southampton, because we've got a number of examples there, who they go to a bigger club and they have better players around them, and you suddenly go, hang about, he's pretty tasty. Van Dijk is the obvious example there, of course. But I think Højbjerg in this, Højbjerg under Mourinho is going to flourish, because he will love Højbjerg. I can see him being a regular starter. Be a shame for Eric Dier. So, you know, he could sort of take that kind of role. But Dier didn't start that.
But they've needed a more mobile Eric Dier in midfield.
I agree.
And Dier's a centre back. His future's a centre back.
Yeah,
it has to be.
I think Højbjerg could play a huge part for Spurs this season.
I totally agree, and I think, with that sort of player that Højbjerg is, that sort of steering player, he can't, whatever his ability, he can't win you games on his own.
No.
So there's always a limit to what he can do at Southampton. Mm-hmm. But as a useful cog at Spurs, in an area that they've been lacking for quite a long time. But when you're buying Højbjerg, and it's something he talked about in that Ramble Meets, he said, I know people aren't like wanting me just for my ability. They're wanting me for my mentality. And he talked in that interview, which you can
go back
and listen to, about, you know, one of the things that endeared him to Pep Guardiola, and he's Pep Guardiola's golden boy for a little bit at Bayern, and he said it was the fact that he would go after Robin and Ribery and dare to kick them up in the air in training when he was
Mourinho won't like that.
People, but he will actively encourage it.
Everyone, it feels like everyone on earth has heard that episode, but if you haven't, go and it's on actually the Football Ramble channel. Ramble Meets Pierre Emil Højbjerg with Andy. Go and search it. It's a fantastic listen, just because he's such an interesting character.
But he's an older head on young shoulders, which
he is. It's hard to believe he's 24. Now?
25.
Yeah,
right?
I
think he's turned 25.
You would never think that, though. Listening to that interview, you'd think he was, you know, early 30s.
Yes.
Still sort of in the peak of his powers, still, as he's sort of beginning to look back on his career, perhaps. But I think he's very, I think he'd have a really good season.
But don't you think the interesting thing, Marcus, is the fact that, as Luke was saying, Everton have made the eye catching signings. But actually, going into this game, especially as James and Alan, in terms of form and fitness, are coming out of some sort of cold storage. We don't even know if they'll start. Everton have made the eye-catching signings. All the pressure's on Spurs. Mm-hmm. If they don't get, despite the fact they've not really done that much business, I agree with you. I think they've done the right business rather than necessarily eye-catching business. But there's a load of pressure on them to get this right in the early part of the season, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
No, completely, yeah.
Such a competitive
division. When I say them, I mean him,
but
obviously.
But also as well, you know, Doherty and Højbjerg, defensive players, if you know what I mean. Because you named all the forwards that Spurs have, Luke. It's not too shabby, we can't forget. Yeah. Those players, whatever it was under Pochettino, whether they'd, you know, lost a bit of steam, lost a bit of interest, whatever it was, they needed picking up. Now, Mourinho, it didn't quite click in the way that Mourinho would have hoped, although the Amazon documentary has been very interesting and so on.
Well, it's been a weird time, though, hasn't it?
It has been a very weird time. So I think it'd be fascinating to see if he can pick them up and get them going, because they just need a bit of re-energising rather than a load of new signings to come in.
Well, when I listed those four players that you'd expect to play against Everton at the weekend, I think Lo Celso's doubtful. He's perhaps injured. But if they do play Son, Ali, Moura and Kane, well, Son's a fantastic player. Yep. I think we can agree on that.
Yep.
Ali needs to pull his socks up and improve.
Mourinho's working on that, I believe.
Yeah, well, in his own way. But he does. He needs to improve. I don't think anyone could say any different. Moura needs to be used correctly, because I've been to Spurs last season and he's been used as a weird out ball for long clearances, particularly in the Leipzig game, which is mad. And Kane, I'm not saying there's question marks over Kane, but I do have a doubt in my mind about his body's ability to hold up to the scrutiny this season, as he gets yet another year older and he keeps getting these ankle injuries and these problems. So there's a couple of things there that Mourinho might not have any control over. Now, Kane's fitness, Ali's ability to get back to where he was before, and then obviously you have to take into account any kind of attacking player that he brings in. There's, you know, there's talk that Gareth Bale might come back. They're after the guy from Salzburg as well, whose name I forget, forward player. So we'll see what happens with them. But the reason I think this is such a fascinating game, as I said a second ago, the juxtaposition between the two teams is fascinating. We're going to see a lot of new players
on one side of the ledger and see how they get on in a new shirt, and we're going to see some old faces on the other side. And it'll be interesting.
It will be. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, football, you know, English football doesn't just return on Saturday. We have a game in the Championship tonight. The Championship is returning. It's always interesting there. And it's Warnock's Borough who are involved. They are playing Watford, so newly qualified into the Championship.
Oh, Warnock will get,
lovely way of putting it.
He will get his cheapies from grinding out a 1-0 win at Watford tonight.
I tell you what, it's a big game actually to begin the proceedings in the Championship. A bit of Friday night football, which is quite lovely. Warnock is set to manage his 1,500th game against Barnsley in October. That's not against Barnsley specifically, as in his game. Management, the endless
how
derby.
Was it quite samey really.
But it's there was an interview recently with Warnock in one of the national newspapers. Look, I know some of his political views, I may blah blah blah, but I love the man. I think he's top class, and this is what he's been doing in pre-season. Now, Warnock's main residence, should we say, because he just bought a house in Italy, is in Cornwall. So he lives in Cornwall essentially, which rather far away from Middlesbrough.
That's an El Mohammedi style commute,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Joe Cole to Lille commute there.
Well, during pre-season, they had a pre-season game behind closed doors, of course, against Plymouth, and he said that they had a barbecue at his house in Cornwall. All the players were there, and he says, as I'm cooking sausages, I'm talking to a couple of players. As I'm cooking burgers, I'm talking to a few more. And he's building the team spirit. They had two friendlies against Plymouth. Two friendlies! Just because he could get them around the house with barbecues. I absolutely love that.
Fancy this one again tomorrow, lad.
Didn't get to try you all out.
Come round mine afters.
Oh, dear. Eastern Airways are getting a lot of business from Warnock. When he took the job at Borough, they opened up a service. I don't know. Could have been for him only. But from Teesside to Newquay, he said, I could be home in Cornwall under 2 hours. They've been brilliant for me. Imagine that, though. If you're in Middlesbrough and you're living in Cornwall.
And all I'm saying is, if I were a Watford fan and I looked at the list of players they've got out injured for tonight and looked at that Middlesbrough don't appear to have any players out injured, and that they've got Warnock in charge, I'd be fearing the worst. To me, that has got 0-1 written all over it.
Absolutely right. Well, he's 71 now, Warnock, and he said that mid-table just doesn't cut the mustard. He's going for yet another promotion.
Would be a record, wouldn't it? Sure, it would be.
I think it would be ninth, I think.
It's not just about promotions, it's about unlikely promotions.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. He says he's not, you know, he's got a bit in the tank at 71. He said, I love the fishing and collecting my eggs from the chickens, but it doesn't stimulate me like this.
Yeah.
So he's still in there.
A lot of research shows that certain types of jobs, if you want to have a long, happy life, in certain types of jobs, not very, very difficult menial labour jobs, but in certain types of job, the data has shown you should just try and work as long as you can.
Yeah.
Because it keeps you active, keeps you busy, keeps your mind going. He's only 71, it's not that old.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's one of the older, certainly up the older end of the spectrum of managers, but he's enjoying it. And if he's enjoying it and he can still do it, good on him. That's what I say.
I think we should take a leaf out of America's book, because we could do with a 70-year-old in charge of the country, couldn't we?
That's what, who listen, better? You know what they say about being 71? It's better than the alternative, mate.
Oh dear, well, the Championship is back, of course. Wayne Rooney, John Obi Mikel, just a couple of names we're going to enjoy in the Championship this season. Right, it's time for Four to Score.
Yes, indeed it is. Four to Score, but from Betway has returned for the new Premier League season. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free. And for those of you who aren't regular listeners or you're just joining us, you're very welcome indeed. I'll let you know how Four to Score works. Each week you pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win £50,000. The weekly jackpot is £50,000. Make sure your selections are obviously submitted before the first game, and further T's and C's apply. The four games this week, we'll go through them one at a time. Andy, you're up first. You've got Liverpool v Leeds, the aforementioned Saturday tea time. Who's your pick for first goal scorer?
Trying not to be too clever and not to overthink it, as I'm sure dear Marcelo won't. So I've gone for Sadio Mane.
Great. Pep Guardiola went for Nathan Redmond in that game. So Sadio Mane for you, Andy. Game two is mine. It's West Brom v Leicester, Sunday at 2:00. I did debate going a little bit off the beaten track.
It's tempting, isn't
it?
I
always, listen, he was top scorer last season, wasn't he, for a reason. I'm going Jamie Vardy. So that's Sadio Mane, Jamie Vardy. Marcus, you've got Spurs v Everton, Sunday tea time, as we've already mentioned.
I mean, it's tempted to sort of hammer, let's not piss around, Harry Kane.
Harry Kane, very good. And the fourth game this week is Brighton v Chelsea. It's Monday night, and we thought, who better to choose the fourth goal scorer in Betway's four to score than Brighton superfan, our very own Jules Breach. Yep. Here's what she had to say.
Hiya, guys. Have you missed me? No? Well, tough luck. I'm back on Wednesday, so look forward to seeing you then. My first player to score in the Brighton-Chelsea game on Monday night. Surprisingly, I'm not actually going to go for a Brighton player here. Yep, I am going to go for Chelsea's new front man, Timo Werner. He scored against us in pre-season, and I expect him to score again at the Amex on Monday night. So that's your first to score for Brighton-Chelsea.
Thank you very much indeed, Jules. For those of you who weren't aware, that was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
So she wasn't actually live down the line there. Jules has gone for Timo Werner. So Sadio Mane, Jamie Vardy, Harry Kane and Timo Werner. Make sure your selections, if you want to play along with Betway's four to score, are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. All right, everyone. It is now time, as is the custom, for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it.
Here we go.
It's Luke's game. Last week, Marcus recorded, let's just say, is it harsh on you to say a surprise victory over Andy Brassel?
Well,
you need to put your phone down, by the way.
Sorry about that.
For integrity purposes.
Okay. Oh, now we see behind the curtain.
The cameras
now
are on. Behind the curtain. People are going to judge you. I know your integrity is first class, but some people may not. So you might want to put that down. Last week, you recorded a legendary win over Andy 3-2. Oh,
yeah. I think landmark is the word, isn't it?
A landmark win. Yes. I think that's fair. Yes.
Legendary.
Kate Mason is the lineal champion. So this is not a title bout, but it is a fiercely contested affair. I'm not going to ask you again. Move your phone over there, please, if you don't mind. That would be very, very much appreciated. Andy's turned his iPad off. Appreciate that as well. I'll give you a player. You have to bid for how many of his clubs you can name. And it's the best of five. We play all the way through. The first player, because Marcus won last week, mm-hmm. the first guest goes to Andy.
To the challenger.
To the challenger, indeed. You waited a long time to say that, Marcus. Enjoy it. The first player, Andy Brassel. He's played for six clubs and he retired in 2005. Okay. You may have enjoyed him in his post-playing career in the media, although you probably haven't. It's Martin Keown.
Martin Keown.
Six clubs played for. How
six?
Many can you name? Yeah, you
six.
Heard me. How many can you name? Bit of a curveball, that, isn't it? Yeah, do your fingers, Marcus. That's it. Yeah. You've got up to seven there. You just played yourself.
Three.
Three, okay. Marcus, can you do four clubs?
No.
No, okay.
Name so, the three, Andy.
Andy, it's three clubs that Martin Keown has played for. I should have reminded you at the start of the game. Fire in the belly, head in the freezer. Three clubs that Martin Keown's played for. One at a time, please.
Can I just point out, before I deliver them, that Marcus was counting on his fingers up to five.
Yeah.
That's the sort of tactics that we're dealing with.
So you can't name three, no?
Yeah, I can name three.
Go for it, then. One at a time.
Can. Arsenal.
Oh. Correct.
Everton.
Also correct.
Aston Villa.
Correct. Yeah. It's 1-0. He played for Arsenal twice, by the way. I didn't know he had two spells at Arsenal. Yeah. Brighton and Hove Albion. Leicester City and Reading were the others. So
I knew Leicester, but I couldn't think of...
They were the six.
Yeah.
Okay. I was saying that last week.
It's 1-0 to Andy.
1-0 to Andy.
1-0 to Andy. The second player, Marcus, you go first this time, mm-hmm. played for five clubs in total. Mm-hmm. He retired in 1984.
Well, bloody hellfire.
Well, you say that. Big Kevin Keegan.
Oh, get up. This is an outrage.
This is David Beckham all over again.
Do you know what, though? I am... How many did you say?
Five.
Five.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, do you?
I'll go four.
Four? Can you go five?
I've got to go five, haven't I?
You want to go all five?
Yeah, I think I have to go five.
Go on, Andy.
I might start having to introduce a bonus point for people who get all of them, but I won't do that now.
Yeah.
Five clubs, all five, that Kevin Keegan played for in his career between 1968 and 1984. Go ahead.
Newcastle United.
Correct.
Southampton.
Correct.
Should I have done that in a Geordie accent?
If you want to, it's up to you.
Hamburg. Liverpool.
This is where I checked out.
Scunthorpe United.
Ah! Yeah,
correct.
Of course.
That's all five. It's 2-0.
I couldn't remember. He's from Darlington, isn't he? Was he born in Darlington?
I'm not entirely sure.
It was that one. I was like, is it Darlington? Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Scunthorpe was where he started.
Bottom line is, you didn't get Kevin Keegan right at this. No. I think you should leave the studio now, man.
Yeah.
Listen, don't take the gamesmanship. He's been 2-0 up before.
Yes.
He has been 2-0
recently,
up before.
Recently, in fact.
Yeah. Recently. Okay, player number 3, played for 9 clubs in total, retired in 2013. Andy, you are to go first on this one. It's Luis Boamorte.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
Tough one.
Yeah, it is.
Very tough one. How many of Luis Boamorte's clubs can you name?
Ooh, that is hard.
How many clubs did you say?
9.
Ooh.
9 in total. I've counted right, which is occasionally not the case. I think it's 9.
I am going to start with 3.
People will be urging you to get off the mark and make a play for this one.
Yeah, they will.
The stakes are high, though. Uh-huh. If you get this wrong, you've lost.
No, of course. I'll go 4.
Okay, Andy?
Go on, then.
4, okay. One at a time, please, Marcus. Can you please name 4 clubs that Luis Boamorte has turned out for?
Fulham.
Correct.
West Ham.
Correct.
Arsenal.
Correct.
I really wanted him to say 2.
One more.
Yeah, just one more. Oh, this is so frustrating.
This is tough for people listening at home as well. Tough old guy.
Can you give me a clue?
No, I can't. No. You know that. And you've debased yourself asking that.
I'm just going to pluck one from random. Ren.
Afraid not. 3-0 to Andy.
It's
that is
over.
The win. That is the win.
Who did he play for?
Sporting.
Ah.
Spent some time on loan at Luren-Hanentz,
yeah.
I've not really heard of. Arsenal, Southampton, Fulham on loan, and then Fulham permanently. Mm-hmm. West Ham, AEL, Orlando Pirates, and in the end of his career, rather bizarrely, at Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Bizarrely, I forgot Arsenal.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah. How did you?
You didn't need it.
Did you have Sporting, did you?
Yeah.
All right, listen, 4th player, to see if Andy's going to complete the
whitewash. Do I not get Pete's theme tune until the end? Pete's victory.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, you should have
sorry,
that. Yeah,
should I give that now? There you go.
Andy Brassel wins! Oh,
sorry, mate. Forgot about that.
And if I could have it again after the next 2,
that
would be great. I haven't won for a bit. I've got to try and
Fair
milk
enough.
It. Right, thank
Fair
you.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Listen, well, Andy went first, so Marcus, it's on you.
Yeah.
And the 4th player is, he's played for 8 clubs in total. It's Nicholas Bentner.
Ah, Enben.
Hmm.
8 clubs?
Yeah.
Hellfire.
Yeah.
8 bloody clubs. I'll have 2.
Andy?
3.
You want 4? You want 4?
Go 4. I don't know.
You've lost already.
I know. Do you know what I feel like? I feel like the England team who eventually beat Australia in the Ashes and then just, and then just put the kettle on, had a lovely old time, went to Australia and got whitewashed.
Yeah. Yeah. You have got a lot of the Freddie Flint up about you.
An awful lot.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling here. We'll
get him to name him, it's fine.
Go on in, Andy.
Yeah. How many did you say?
I said 3.
Right, okay.
You said 5.
Did you say 3, honestly?
I did, honestly.
Okay, cool.
So.
Go ahead, then.
Arsenal. Copenhagen.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Rosenborg.
Correct.
There you are.
Could have had Birmingham City, Sunderland, Juventus, Wolfsburg, or Nottingham Forest as well.
Juventus.
The final player is Andy first to complete the whitewash.
Here we go.
He's played for 8 clubs also. Retired, I think, this year, actually.
Oh, really?
David Villa.
Oh.
Right.
There we go.
Give me a second.
I think you'd probably do all that.
How many did you say, sorry?
8.
8.
You do all of them?
I'll take 5 to start.
Are you...
Come on, don't go out on your knees.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right, 6.
Yeah. You ain't got the guts for
no,
7.
No, I think he's thinking about it.
He hasn't got the guts for 7.
He's thinking about 7.
I haven't got the memory for it.
Yeah.
Oh, go on. Volley it in the top corner to finish me off, you coward. Go
for
7.
For that...
Marcus!
No, he doesn't really.
Go on, go, go 7. On. You're 4-0 up.
Don't listen to the banter. Make him do 6.
You know what? I'm happy with the 4-1. I'll take all 7.
All right.
Go. You gonna go 7?
Yeah.
You need,
love
there's,
that.
There's eight in total, but you wanna go 7?
Andy, I love that.
Are you gonna go 8?
No, because that's a sign of a true champion.
You can't
mate.
Do 8.
No, but that's fair play to Andy.
Go ahead.
I don't think he could have done 5.
I can do 5, and I 6. I wasn't sure, but I thought
7.
Come on.
Go on.
Okay.
Because 4-1 is like, oh, I'll get a consolation. Who cares? But if you score...
I'd have to count with the fingers.
Go ahead.
For that's
this
fine,
one.
That's fine.
I'll count for you. It's all right.
Sporting Gijón.
That's one.
Good start, that. That's a good start.
Valencia.
Yeah.
Two.
Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Atletico Madrid.
Four.
New York City FC.
Five.
Vissel Kobe.
Six.
Oh, yes.
Am I missing one?
Yeah, you're missing two.
Well, I know I'm missing two.
Yeah.
Racing Santander.
And there's the consolation. There's the consolation, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's no whitewashing today, ladies and gentlemen.
Again, to make it absolutely clear,
Luke's game is played. The moral victory. Real Zaragoza, you were thinking.
Oh, my
God. I was thinking of the Australian side.
Melbourne City.
So I had Melbourne City. The Japanese side, I couldn't remember. Was that the same team who Iniesta played for?
Yes.
Yeah. I was struggling there, and I knew that there was a Spanish club I didn't have.
Anyway.
There we are.
Yeah, Andy with a 4-1 win on the first Luke's game of the new season.
Play the tune again.
All right, fair enough. Andy, Marcus, you can talk us out over Andy's theme tune if that's not too demeaning.
Saw that one coming. Yeah, to be fair, look, Brassel is... He may not be the current champion, but he's the big boy in this. He is the big boy.
I think most people... I'm Kate Mason fan, so...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So,
well, you're a glory hunter, then.
Yeah.
Absolute glory hunter. Yeah. Before we go, by the way, a lovely chap called... I assume he's a lovely chap called Peterson on Twitter sent us a little rundown of last season's Masked Winger scores.
Yeah, a bit of housekeeping, as he says. He said he's been keeping a score of Masked Winger all last season. The final scorecard was Marcus Spiller 12, Luke 11, and Jim 6.
Yeah.
So you won that.
I did. I feel like it's a bit like the Cup Winners' Cup. It's kind of like, as far as I'm aware, that's been discontinued and I get to keep it.
So, yeah, you can keep it.
Much like Sven got to keep the Cup Winners' Cup.
You can keep it, 100%. Yeah, no worries. Yeah. I'm perfectly happy for you to be yesterday's news. Carry on.
With my consolation. Yeah. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. Do check out our second feed, of course. Football Ramble Presents on the Continent is on that. So get your lug holes around that. Enjoy the football weekend. We're back on Monday. Until then, say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.